Okay, let's turn again to John chapter 8, beginning in verse 48. Let's hear the word of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Our Heavenly Father, I ask the blessing now upon your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate the scriptures to us, that you will open our hearts, you will open our minds to receive it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Funny world we live in sometimes. You know, people find little things to debate about and turn them into big things, you know, very often. Most people, however, are inclined to avoid a debate. But still there are some who take the other side of that coin and will go out of their way to enjoin themselves in a debate. They just love to argue. You know, it can be young, can be old. There are some who take that tack. You know, there's nothing quite like the good feeling you get from proving someone else wrong. You know, little children do this all the time, but so do big kids. Like to prove someone else is wrong. They like to be right. There is a trait that is kind of common among those who engage themselves in debate on a regular basis. And it's when you've reached the end of the debate, when you've come to the conclusion that your argument can no longer hold water, that you can't, you know, win anymore, you abandon the argument and attack the person. You see, because if I can't win with logic, I can at least beat you up. You know, that's kind of the way it tends to go. And we see it all the time. And we see it in the world about us. We see it in the world of politics. There are those, and whatever you think of Donald Trump, he's the president of the United States. And people will avoid the argument that maybe some of the policies that he's enacting are beneficial to the country. They'd rather fall back on that Donald Trump is such a jerk, that Donald Trump is a con man, that Donald Trump is this and Donald Trump is that. Yeah, and that's the way it goes. It's a personal attack instead of arguing the substance of the policy. It's not new. It's not a new thing. It's not something that people just came up with. Jesus has been giving, in the passage that we've been looking at for the last few weeks, he's been engaged in this discourse with these people. And he's been giving them hard truth. And we've mentioned before, people like to say they want to hear the truth, but they don't necessarily want to hear the truth when the truth is hard. And that's what these guys, remember, it wasn't that many verses ago. We hear that many believed, that many followed after Jesus. Well, these are these same people who are not so believing at this point. They're not so engaged in following. And Jesus is giving them the hard truth, and they're arguing back. They're saying, look, you know, we're descendants of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to anybody. And they've said, Abraham is our father. And then they've gone further and they've said, well, God is our father. And they keep arguing while Jesus keeps pointing things out to them and keeps going, you know, methodically teaching them hard truth. And they keep saying, no, there's this reason why we shouldn't accept that and that reason why we shouldn't accept that. And, you know, when it comes to their relationship with Almighty God, they're not on the same page. Jesus is telling them, you guys think you're servants of the Most High, but you're not even close. You're not. Your father is the devil. That kind of hurts. You know, there they are, you know, bragging about their religiosity, you know, living in their own pride of ancestry. And Jesus says to them, you're of your father, the devil. I said, Jesus is not getting invited over for Thanksgiving. That was something harsh. That was not going to be received well. But it was true. At this point, the debate is lost. Those who have been listening, those who have been arguing with Jesus, the debate is lost. And so what do? They turn away from the debate of principle and go to accusation of the man. They come and attack Christ personally. They throw out arguments that are designed to discredit Christ and to invalidate his teaching. If they throw out this accusation, then you know, what ground does Jesus have to stand on? Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? When you look at it from the perspective of a playground, it comes across kind of like, well, the devil's our father? Well, you're a Samaritan and you have a demon. Yeah. That's kind of the way it's done. That's the approach. That's like, you're telling me this, well, you're that. Yeah. My mother wears army boots. Well, your father's mustache. What do you think of that, huh? Your mother's mustache. Make that one, huh? For a Jew to be called a Samaritan, that's a low blow. You know, we talked about early on in this book as we were coming through, the Jews considered the Samaritans to be apostate. The Samaritans did not have real faith. The Samaritans worshipped on this mountain. The Jews worshipped on this mountain. They didn't like each other. So for these Jewish people to call Jesus a Samaritan, you know, they're taking a real poke at him. But Jesus ignores that insult. We talked about this earlier too, that Jesus didn't always respond to everything. Well, and that's something really that we need to learn. That we don't always have to respond. When somebody takes a jab at us, we don't always have to respond to it. And Jesus demonstrates that for us. On the other hand, what Jesus will not tolerate is an insult to the other members of the Godhead. Jesus will not tolerate his Father being insulted. Jesus will not tolerate the Holy Spirit being demeaned in any way. And so he ignores the insult of being a Samaritan. But he responds quickly to this idea of him having a demon. He says, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. You claim, you guys have argued with me that God is your Father, but you dishonor his Son, which tells us plainly that you don't honor the Father. That there is a disconnect there. You don't see Jesus as the person that he really is, the Son of God, the second member of the Godhead. He is part. But you don't see that. You're not hearing it. And you instead insult the Son of God. That's a strange way of demonstrating any honor for the Father. There's something wrong there. And Jesus reminds them that, you know what? He's not here about his own glory. He's not seeking his own honor in this world. He doesn't need to. The Father is out to honor the Son. Jesus doesn't need to seek his own glory. The Father's giving that to him. He says, you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. I don't know how they took that. Well, yes, I do. Because I know how this ends. But sitting there in that congregation of people, hearing this itinerant from Galilee preaching these things, teaching these things, and they're saying, you know what? You don't even know who the Father is. Shouldn't the knowledge that one day we will stand before God in judgment, shouldn't that make you tremble? As these people are sitting there arguing with the Son of God, shouldn't they in fact be trembling, understanding that one day they will stand in judgment before him? We're too proud. They're too arrogant in their own ways. They don't understand. They will. They did. These people are all dead now. You know, all of us have a face that we wear in public. Every single one of us have a face that we wear in public. And one that we wear in private. Now, for many, it's the same face. People are consistent. The person you see in public is the person you see in private. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes that's not the case. But one day we have this clear teaching that God will judge the heart that's reflected in the face, whatever that face is. God will judge the heart and say what is it that you have done with his son Jesus. And those who have rejected the Son, those who have rejected Christ Jesus, will die an eternal death. That's inevitable. However, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Even in the heat of this argument, in the heat of this battle, Jesus gives the gospel. He gives good news for ears that are able to hear it. If anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. You know what's really sad is that Jesus is giving this good news to a bunch of people that would never hear it. Their ears would be permanently deafened. Their hearts would be permanently hardened. They would never hear the gospel message. Their hearts aren't softened by this. They don't spend any time at all meditating on the words that Jesus is teaching them. You know what they do? They do what a lot of people do. You know what? My feet are planted in my argument, and I'm not going to hear anything but my argument, and I'm going to continue to make my argument, even though it's blatantly wrong. Instead of being crushed by the ministry of the gospel, they become more outraged. And they, you know, ramp up the insult. If anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? From our perspective, I could say, I would never be that bold to have that argument with Jesus. These people didn't know who he was. They felt free to argue with him, thinking that he was just another guy. They accused him of having a demon, and now they said, now we know it. You know, we were taking a shot in the dark. We were just throwing an insult out there. But now, you know what? We stumbled on something. We're absolutely right. You have a demon. You know, saying this kind of wacky stuff. If you keep my words, you're never going to die. Well, Abraham, kind of dead. The prophets, kind of dead. Are you saying that they weren't servants of God? Are you saying that they didn't believe the truth of God's word? Of course they kept God's word. But they're still dead. Are you greater than these guys? I mean, these are the superstars of Jewish history. Abraham was the father. You're saying you're greater than that? You see, there is this continued insistence in these people that Jesus is really only a glory hound. That he's only doing these things just for his own benefit. Just get the pat on the back. Just to do, see his name in a paper. They were dead in their hearts. And they were deaf to the truth. We've read through these passages, and one thing has been made clear, at least to me, is the principle of repetition is a sound one. Because Jesus repeats and repeats and repeats who he is, what he's about, and they don't get it. It doesn't sink in. Repetition is required for our learning. That's a biblical principle for learning. But these men weren't learning. And this is an interesting thing. At what point do we just give up and walk away? Eventually, there is a point. But Jesus hadn't reached that point. Here he is standing in front of a bunch of hardheads, in front of a bunch of people who will not hear truth. They just refuse it. And Jesus keeps teaching them. The lessons are hard, and they're not being learned, but he keeps teaching. He keeps on going. Even though they're not getting it. Why? He was not seeking his own glory, but he was seeking the Father's. And the day would come when the Father would glorify him. Now Jesus begins to wind down this session. There's a point where you've gone long enough. There is no point in continuing, You've reached the end. So he's winding this down. But he's not giving this group of listeners any room to claim a moral victory. He's not giving them the opportunity to say, all right, we shut him down. We did okay. We worked out. We sent him on his way. He says, my Father is the God that you say you worship. But you don't even know him. You say you worship him. You go through the rituals. You go through the Sabbath procedures. But you have no idea what you're doing. You don't know God because of the way you live. If you knew him, you would be changing some things. And he says to them, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham was excited to see my day arrive. And that blew their minds. They're already accusing Christ of being a demoniac. They're already accusing him of being maybe a little nuts. And he tells them, their father, Abraham, was excited to see his day. Well, how'd that happen? Well, it was by faith. Abraham, by faith, saw the coming of the Messiah. Abraham received the blessing of his son Isaac. And it was through Isaac that the covenant would be kept between Abraham and the Almighty. And Abraham saw by faith the consummation of the covenant down the line in the person of Jesus Christ. And that caused him a time of rejoicing. The Jews have no spiritual health at all who are listening to him. They're not alive. Their ears are not working. What they hear is not what is being said. And they balk at this thing. They balk at this statement of Jesus, and their minds are churning over. You know, you can see the smoke pouring out their ears from the gears turning. That, you know what? Abraham's been dead for a couple thousand years. He hasn't been on the scene for a while. You're not even 50 years old. You're not even 40 years old. And you say that Abraham is cheering you on? And Jesus puts the final nail in it. He says, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. That was a significant statement. Why did that matter? Why would that have mattered to these good religious people? Because they were ignorant of who Christ was, but they were not completely ignorant of their own history. And if you go back to Exodus chapter 3 and you see the calling of Moses, and there's this bush that's burning in the wilderness, and Moses makes the great statement that, I must turn aside and see this great sight. He did say that, by the way. And God tells him, take your shoes off because the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. And he calls him to a purpose. He calls him to go to the people of Israel and be their deliverer and bring them out. And Moses says, when I go to your children, when I go to your people, who should I say it was that sent me? And God said, I am. Tell them, I am. Sent me. It was God himself. So Jesus says to these Jewish folks, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. They're hearing his testimony that I am God. And they lost it. They lost it. This can't be. This is blasphemy. You're Joseph's son from Nazareth. Declare yourself to be the Almighty. Why didn't they believe him? For the same reason that people don't believe the truth of the gospel today. There is no life in them. They're spiritually dead. These people looked only to the temporal. They saw only what was physically in front of them. They saw only the reality of what stood in front of them that day. There was no spiritual awareness in their minds, in their hearts. There was no life in them. They rejected Christ's word, even though his word was true. And what did they do? They took up stones to throw at him. They've been wanting to kill him now for a few chapters. And for Jesus to make this declaration makes them want to kill him all the more. But you know the thing is, it wasn't just the Jews. The battle is a spiritual one. The war is a spiritual one. And people who hear the truth of the gospel today don't always react and receive it. The reaction is sometimes opposition to it. The reaction is most times opposition to it. And they want nothing to do with Jesus as these people wanted nothing to do with Jesus. They wanted him eliminated. They wanted put out of the way. And the day would come when they would think that they would realize their dream, their hope. But this was not that day. Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The will of God is always done. God's will is always carried out. Now was not the time for Christ to die. But it's always the time to hear his truth. If you hear the truth of the gospel, if you hear the truth of God's word, and it makes you mad, it makes you uneasy, it makes you deny, that's the time, more than any other, that you need to go to God in prayer. And say, God, make me right. Soften my heart. Put your life in me. And give me the ears to hear it. So that I can receive it with joy. And like Abraham so long ago, rejoice in his day. That's what we need to do. We need to be right with God. And only you know if you are. So let's pray.